Good morning, and welcome to the Westell Technologies Fiscal Year 2018 Third Quarter Earnings Call. My name is Christine, and I will be your operator for today's call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. Later, we will conduct a question-and-answer session. Please note that this conference call is being recorded. I will now turn the call over to Tom Minichiello, Westell's Chief Financial Officer. Tom, you may begin.
Thank you, Christine. Good morning, and welcome to our conference call to discuss the fiscal year 2018 third quarter results for Westell Technologies. The news release we issued yesterday afternoon is posted on our website, westell.com. On this call, Kirk Brannick, Westell's President and Chief Executive Officer, will begin with the discussion of our business and strategy. I will then update you on our financial results for the quarter, and we'll conclude by taking questions. Before we begin, please note that our presentation and discussion contain forward-looking statements about future results, performance, or achievements, financial and otherwise. Words such as should, believe, expect, trend, and similar expressions are intended to identify such forward-looking statements. These statements reflect management's current expectations, estimates, and assumptions. These forward-looking statements are not guarantees of future performance and involve risks and uncertainties that may cause Westell's actual results, performance, or achievements to differ materially from those discussed. A description of the factors that may affect our future results is provided in the company's SEC filings, including Form 10-K for the fiscal year ended March 31st, 2017, under the section Risk Factors. The forward-looking statements made in this presentation are being made as of the date and time of this conference call. Westell disclaims any obligation to update or revise any forward-looking statements based on new information, future results, or other factors. Please also note that we present non-GAAP financial information in our news releases because we believe that non-GAAP measures provide meaningful supplemental information to both management and investors. The non-GAAP information reflects the company's core ongoing operating performance and facilitates comparisons across reporting periods. Our discussion of results today will include non-GAAP financial measures. We've provided reconciliations to the most comparable GAAP measures in our news release. I will now turn the call over to Kirk.
Thank you, Tom, and good morning, everyone. For our fiscal third quarter, Westell continued to generate profits and cash. What was more impressive is we generated even higher profit margins and cash flow in a historically low revenue quarter. These positive results illustrate the tremendous operating leverage we now have in the business. Over the past year, we have consistently met or exceeded key operating metrics for gross margin and operating expenses, resulting not only in our fifth consecutive quarter of positive non-GAAP operating profit, but also exceeding 10% for non-GAAP operating margin for the first time in 4 years. I consider these results to be an important indicator of the excellent work by the Westell team. Now, let's talk a little bit about our revenue and growth opportunities and how we're pursuing what we're pursuing across the business. While the IBEW business returned to a more anticipated level after several quarters of record performance, we did see continued growth for our public safety solutions in the third quarter and are encouraged by the revenue growth opportunities we have in this market. In addition to our current set of public safety products, we are working on rapid OEM initiatives to bring Westell-certified solutions from third parties, which could result in increased market share quicker and more cost-effectively than our internal development. If all goes well, I would expect that we will bring additional public safety products to the market later this calendar year. We are also working on other potential OEM partners to expand our product offerings on the commercial side. Our focus is to look at all opportunities to grow top line in this segment. The ISMS business achieved its highest quarterly revenue level in 2 years, which partially offset the seasonal impact of our C&S business. Among the top customers for ISMS, we are seeing a trend of increased focus and spending for remote monitoring, and we are seeking new customers. We are also seeing progress with respect to revenue growth opportunities in wireless network densification applications, namely the emerging centralized radio access network, or CRAN, architecture that is being embraced by the major service providers, as well as small cell deployments. We expect our ISMS and CNS product portfolios to benefit as these network transitions continue to gain traction. In the CRAN space, our ISM solution and our CNS offerings such as power distribution have been key to our recent success in network buildouts. As the name implies, CRAN centralizes efficiencies in the radio access network. It allows flexibility at the network's edge where end users connect, and it really lays the groundwork for small cell deployments and 5G rollouts. Organically, we continue to leverage the breadth of our current product portfolio to pursue deeper penetration with existing customers and win new customers, including what I would characterize as tactical investments and product developments that can enhance our ability to meet evolving customer requirements and drive revenue growth. Inorganically, in addition to the rapid OEM initiatives for IBW that I mentioned earlier, we are constantly evaluating opportunities to expand our business through acquisition. The priority here would be small niche or bolt-on accretive businesses that can profitably grow our top line. While this could include acquiring products or solutions to increase market share within our current customer base, we would like to acquire businesses that would build on the customer diversification we have already achieved with our current business. Now, Westel has a strong 30-year brand, is known for high quality, and we have a great customer base and distribution channels in the U.S., Latin America, and Australia. That makes us attractive to do business with, and we need to leverage that. On the leadership side, our board of directors is looking at options to increase shareholder value and is going through the process of reviewing CEO candidates. In the meantime, I'm totally focused on the business and what we need to do to increase shareholder value. In summary, our growth strategy is to continue to focus in the growing markets, including in-built and wireless, public safety, and CRAN. Also, organically leverage and enhance our existing product portfolio to drive revenue growth and further expand the business inorganically through rapid OEM and accretive acquisitions. Now, let me turn it back over to Tom for our deeper review of our financial highlights. Tom?
Thank you, Kirk. Let me provide additional color on our results for the December quarter, and I'll start with revenue. For the third fiscal quarter ended December 31st, 2017, consolidated revenue was $13.7 million compared to $17.2 million in the prior quarter. The lower revenue was attributable to the seasonally low quarter for CNS and a sequential decrease for IBW, which was coming off a September quarter in which it generated record revenue levels for two of its main product lines, the Universal DAS Interface Tray, or UDIT, Active DAS Conditioner, and our in-building passive system components. On a fiscal year-to-date basis, IBW revenue is up 6%. Highlighting our revenue performance in the quarter was ISMS, which, at $5.8 million, was up 23% when compared to the quarter before. Driving the sequential revenue increase with higher support services revenue and increased sales of remote units, which are the network devices used for on-site processing. As Kirk noted, it was the best quarterly revenue performance for ISMS since December 2015, and we are pleased to see a trend among our top service provider customers of increased focus and spending for remote monitoring. Back on the CNS front, it's important to note that these product lines within this segment are deployed primarily in the outdoor network, resulting in seasonally low revenue in December quarters due to the approaching winter months. Nonetheless, on a fiscal year-to-date basis, revenue is up for our two primary CNS product lines, integrated cabinets, in which we continue to see good market demand associated with customer network expansion projects, and our temperature-hardened power distribution products, in which we continue to see new market demand in areas like CRAN. Moving on to the rest of the operating results, we continued for the fifth consecutive quarter to meet or beat key operating targets, including consolidated gross margin of 40% or greater and quarterly non-GAAP operating expenses of $6 million or lower. Third quarter consolidated gross margin was 44.4%, well above our target, and up from the prior quarter's 42.2%, largely driven by a favorable mix. Our year-to-date consolidated gross margin was 42.4%. Non-GAAP operating expenses for the quarter were $4.7 million, a substantial improvement when compared to the $5.7 million just one quarter before, and significantly beating the $6 million or lower target. The biggest improvement was an R&D expense for IBW, where, as Kirk noted, we are working on a more cost-effective OEM model to bring to the market Westel-certified public safety solutions. Other ongoing expense management activities also assisted in lowering our SG&A expenses in the third quarter. Going forward, we will strive to keep non-GAAP OPEX at or below $5.5 million. Now, let's talk bottom-line performance. The efficiencies created over the past year have positioned Westel as a profit- and cash-maximizing entity. Our third quarter was clear evidence of this. The operating leverage we now have in the business allowed us to achieve a double-digit non-GAAP operating profit margin, even in a seasonally low quarter. The 10.2% operating margin in 3Q18 was the highest in 4 years. On a year-to-date basis, our non-GAAP operating margin is 8%. Net income and EPS on a non-GAAP basis was $1.5 million and 9 cents per share for the quarter, and $3.9 million and 25 cents per share fiscal year-to-date. The size of the profitability improvements in our business over the past year, especially over the past 2 quarters, has now resulted in our second consecutive quarter of positive GAAP earnings. GAAP operating profit was positive in both fiscal 3Q and 2Q. Net income on a GAAP basis was $800,000 in 3Q and $700,000 in 2Q, and EPS was 5 cents per share in both quarters. Note, below operating profit, there were one-time non-operating accounting credits of $700,000 and $600,000 in 3Q and 2Q, respectively. However, these unusual items were simply additive to the already profitable GAAP results based on normal business operations. On an adjusted EBITDA basis, which is our non-GAAP operating profit less depreciation, Westel's business in the December quarter generated adjusted EBITDA of 11.5% or $1.6 million, achieved positive EBITDA for the fifth consecutive quarter and over $1 million in each of the past 4 quarters. And on a trailing 12-month basis, i.e. calendar year 2017, the business has produced adjusted EBITDA of 8.9% or a total of $5.6 million. Turning to the balance sheet, during the quarter we increased cash by $1.8 million, further strengthening our already strong balance sheet. Our cash and short-term investments totaled $26 million at December 31st, 2017, compared to $24.2 million at September 30th. The fiscal 3Q cash increase consisted of $1.9 million in cash generated from operations, partly offset by $100,000 of cash used for capital expenditures and share repurchases. Over the past 5 quarters, our business has generated a total of $6 million in cash from operations. Under the stock repurchase program authorized by our board of directors in May of 2017, and as part of open market 10b5-1 plans, Westel has, to date, repurchased 133,610 shares at an average price of $2.94 per share for a total cash outlay of $392,571. Before we move on to Q&A, let me summarize. Over the past year, we have consistently met or beat key operating targets and have generated positive results in almost every aspect of the company. We have a very healthy cost and expense structure that now positions the company with tremendous operating leverage as we seek to grow top line. And we have revenue growth strategies that include building on our early successes in wireless public safety and in CRAN, further enhancing our current product portfolio to grow top line, and working on inorganic initiatives like Rapid OEM and accretive acquisitions to expand the business. So with that, we'd now like to open up the call for your questions.
Thank you. Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. If you have a question, please press star, then one on your touch-tone phone. If you wish to be removed from the queue, please press the pound sign or the hash key. If you are using a speakerphone, you may need to pick up the handset first before pressing the numbers. Once again, if you have a question, please press star, then one on your touch-tone phone. Our first question is from Greg Mesniaeff of Wakefield Advisors. Please go ahead.
Thank you, and good morning, and congrats on a good quarter for cost discipline and, you know, your steadily improving margins. I have one question about the in-building wireless IBW segment. You mentioned on the call that you guys are focused increasingly on OEM opportunities and, you know, shifting some of your sales targets that way. Can you talk about any milestones in the quarter that you may have seen as far as potentially resulting in some revenue acceleration there? Thanks.
Yeah, Greg. Well, thanks for the comment, and I can speak to that. First of all, in the IBW space, we are seeing some nice growth in public safety. You know, if you look back a little over a year ago, you know, we had very little, if any, revenue, and the revenue this quarter was good. We don't get into detail on each of those individual segments, but first and foremost, we see the opportunity in public safety. So what we are doing, we are actively, and when I say actively, daily, involved with a few OEM partners where we are looking at the technology and where the products need to go, and we are trying to reach different agreements that would allow us to take those products and get them into the marketplace rapidly. And what we've seen over the last quarter is, you know, everything we do has to have an ROI on it. And so you balance what you do internally from a development perspective and what we may be able to go out in the market and actually market under the Westel brand. You know, I think our strength is our brand, our distribution network, and our sales team, and there are a lot of companies out there that have excellent products that don't have that presence here in the good old USA, and we need to leverage that. So that's a long answer to your question, but that's kind of where we are in the IBW space right now. Did that answer it?
Yes, thank you. And my follow-on is a quick one. Were there any greater than 10% customers in the quarter that you can speak to? Thanks.
Yeah, Tom can answer that.
Yes. Yeah, good morning, Greg. We had three in the quarter over 10%. I can tell you that two were service providers and one was a neutral host operator. And then just as a some additional color, there were also two pretty close to 10%, both service providers. Year to date, we have four that are at 10% or greater.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from Bradley Nelson. Please go ahead.
Hey, guys, could you talk a little bit more about your efforts to reduce R&D expense and what levels we should expect going forward? I mean, should they be consistent with the current quarter's expense? And does any of that decrease have anything to do with the change in your rental costs?
Actually, Kirk was just touching upon that in the response to the first question by Greg. So you'll see that we're at around 1.5 on R&D expense, non-GAAP in the quarter. We're probably going to stay close to that number in the foreseeable quarters. That could change depending on what we do, internal development versus pursuing our rapid OEM initiatives. But that's what we expect on R&D expense going forward. Again, it gets back to Kirk's note that the effort, whether it's internal or external, needs to be focused, targeted to meet the deliverables and the ROI that we need to have, and it needs to effectively address the evolving customer needs in the marketplace.
Great. And none of that reduction had anything to do with the rental reduction that you
going back to that, the lease was, we did a restructuring about a year and a half ago and took the P&L down to the space that we needed in our building. And so it didn't affect the P&L at all. It did help us on the cash front for sure, because we had to continue to make the cash payments until the lease expired on September 30th.
Okay, great, guys. Thank you very much.
The lease is a very favorable lease for us, we believe. We've got some flexibility there down the road. It's a shorter-term lease. Every lease that we have, we're analyzing them to say what opportunities are there. Any opportunity where we can save cash and expense, we're looking at that, and we're continuing to look at that.
Okay, great.
Thank you. Our next question is from Mike Lattimore of Northland Capital. Please go ahead.
Tim, thanks. Nice job on the EBITDA there in the quarter. That's great. On the ISMS business, you know, you said you saw some good trends there. Is that one customer driving it, or is that sort of a broad-based, you know, improvement? And then what's kind of driving that? Are there particular use cases?
Yeah, Mike, so we have three large customers in this segment. You know, one is a North American-focused customer. One's a global customer, and the other one's an international customer. And we saw good performance domestically with the one large customer here in the U.S., and we see continued strength and the desire to spend more on remote monitoring here. We also saw a nice uptick with the international customer, and then the global customer who operates here in the U.S. and in international markets where we have a high market share with them. We saw some nice bookings in the quarter in one of their international markets that'll turn into revenue in the coming quarters.
Okay, got it. Great. And then in terms of the OEM opportunity for public safety, I mean, can you just sort of characterize the type of customers you're talking to there? Are they, you know, telecom equipment guys? Are they data networking? Are they, you know, like what categories of OEMs are you talking to?
Yeah, I can answer that. Well, first of all, when you look at the public safety market, what is very important, I think I mentioned it on previous calls, is understanding and getting in bed with the integrators. The integrators are tied to the building owners, Mike, that basically they are the ones that are driving the decisions as municipalities put in requirements as far as what sort of coverage is in those buildings. It's really important that we get in with the integrators. So we sell a lot of our product through distributors. And so what we are doing is we're looking at the marketplace, what those integrators want, and there's different flavors of public safety products depending upon what type of services the municipality uses. We'll tell you today that our public safety offerings, even though I'm really proud to say they've grown, we need more product in that area and differentiated product, and that's why we're working with partners to find that. And I feel really good, as I said in earlier, that we will be launching new products in that area this next coming year. And so that's kind of our strategy in that market.
Mm-hmm. Got it. And then do you expect kind of the normal seasonal patterns in your March quarter as well? And you know, if so, are there any sort of leading indicators of that, you know, a couple big telecom companies ordering, anything like that?
Yes, Mike. We expect to see the historical seasonality, certainly a rebound in our CNS segment. And like we said in the prepared remarks, we are encouraged by what we're seeing in terms of demand for remote monitoring among our existing customers, and we're certainly, you know, pursuing additional accounts with ISMS. And in IBW, you know, we can continue the public safety growth track there. So,
great. And just last question. For the CRAN opportunities, you know, what types of customers are you looking at there? Are they sort of big, Tier 1s, Tier 2s, Tier 3s? Just some general color would be great.
They're predominantly the Tier 1s, Mike. And our success to date has been in CNS and ISMS as you distribute the network out in the CRAN architecture fashion. There's demand for power and monitoring at these where the traffic is going to get heavier coming through the distributed network.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Our next question is from Steve Bush of Everglades Resources. Please go ahead.
Hi, gentlemen. Thanks for taking my call. So I've been a Westel holder for a long time. I guess my first question is kind of what happened to our last CEO? I mean, it was kind of an abrupt departure.
I'll address that because I had a hand in hiring Matt. You know, I would just tell you from my perspective, you know, Matt came in and he did some good things. He, you know, made a decision that, there was another opportunity that he felt he was more suited for. And, he took that opportunity and, we left on great terms. I was a little astounded that he left so quickly. But I think the board did the right thing, and that's really what I can say about it. We still communicate with him, and nothing astounding to cause him to leave. It's just a personal decision, and he made that decision.
Okay, that's fine. So you're talking about making some acquisitions, and I guess are your acquisitions going to be product lines from larger OEMs? Is that what you're looking for? Are you trying to buy little companies? What exactly are we trying to buy for an acquisition?
Okay. First, we're looking at small. We believe that we're in a good position cash-wise, and we're trying to balance our cash with what makes sense. Number one, they've got to be accretive. They've got to be accretive, and there's got to be synergies. We will not look at anything that doesn't show accretion. I mean, that's really important.
Like from day one or from?
Well, yeah, we're looking at things that look accretive day one, maybe out a year or two, but nothing further than that. And they've got to be small. They also have to fit some parameters where we see the synergies and there's not overlap with where we're at today. Now, that doesn't mean we're going to go out and get out of our niche. But for example, we've got a great customer base in the telecom space. But you don't ever hear us talk about, the cable guys or the MSO guys.
Mm-hmm.
And, there's opportunities out there in that space. So we don't want to venture from what we think we do well, in our three segments. So if we look at something, it's not going to be something that we haven't done in the past, and we're looking at whether that's getting new product or assets. It's got to fit the mold. And whatever we do, there has got to be synergies. And my background is with AT&T. I saw how AT&T did M&A. They had a great playbook. From Ameritech to Bell South to buying 18. I mean, they had a playbook and it had to meet certain criteria. And so we're being very, very selective. But we have been actively looking to see what's out there.
Okay. So I guess just as a follow up to that, first of all, I like creative acquisitions. I don't know about 2 years, but less than a year is nice. So. Right now we have about $1.65 a share in cash. Our current assets are around $38 million. We're trading less than 2x sales right now. I mean, why wouldn't we buy our own stock instead? I mean, I'm just asking, you know, general question. We're pretty cheap here.
Yep.
Yes, Steve, this is Tom. Well, we have been, and we are, and we have 10b5-1 plans out in the open market to do just that. And we have bought, we have an authorization, and we have bought off of that authorization close to $400,000 of our own stock over the past, call it 5 or 6 months. So we are doing that. At the same time, you know, we just talked about acquisitions and growing the top line, which is going to take, you know, in, with our current portfolio, we've got room for growth. But inorganically with OEM and acquisitions, those are things that we are looking at seriously. So we need to be prepared to pull the trigger on any of those that, you know, make sense for us to do. So we're it's a balance, right? It's a balance between deploying cash for buyback at the current prices or, you know, having it ready for future growth and reinvestment in the business.
Right, right. And I guess my follow-up to that would be that, you know, our stock price is low, and if our stock price is higher, you could perhaps make acquisitions with stock. I don't know how likely that is. But I do think, you know, this gets hammered on a few times every year, but, you know, our Class B structure is not helping our stock price. So I don't know if you talk to them about, you know, what's good for the for everybody to have one share class and let it ride.
Yeah,
I mean, the stock
I
is so cheap, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, I think we have tremendous operating leverage. We have tremendous operating leverage with what we've done on the cost side. We have to grow revenue. We're very focused on what do we got to do to grow revenue. I mean, when you look at this quarter and you look at last year, and you compare our revenue to our results, the operating leverage in this business now is very good. So we have to find a way, how do you grow that top line? And I think a lot of investors want that, and that's really what we're turning our focus on now. But your point regarding share repurchase makes a lot of sense. We're trying to do the balancing act. I'm glad to see our cash has grown $1.8 million this quarter. And as Tom mentioned earlier, we've grown cash $6 million. So we need to put that to use in the best way possible to drive overall shareholder value. I don't like our stock price. you know, I'd like to see it higher. And I think if we do the right things, you know, good things happen with good results.
Thank you. Our next question is from Greg Mesniaeff of Wakefield Advisors. Please go ahead.
Yes, thanks. Just a two-part follow-on question for either Tom or Kirk. Some of your telecom equipment peers in the last several quarters have seen a significant increase in their focus on service and support that's being called upon by their key customers. Are you guys seeing any of that as well? That's part one. And part two, as you focus increasingly on an OEM model, what kind of feedback are you getting from your key customers on that shift in focus? Thanks.
Yeah, Greg, I'll take the first one. So we are seeing good business with services in the ISMS. The final S stands for services in intelligent site management and services. It's a combination of support and maintenance agreements with customers. Almost all of them that we've sold product to there have support agreements. And then we also do some EF&I, or what's called deployment services, for a few of those customers who still like us to do that because we know the products and how to install them best. So that's where most of our services business is today. And the second question was
the OEM
side. On the OEM side.
Yeah. You know, one of the keys with the OEM providers is to ensure that we have input in the product, what features that product has, and then how we make sure that the customers, you know, like those features. And on the OEM side, for example, a number of our products, you know, do have GUIs, and so one of the things we want to make sure we do is design that and ensure that if we do sell a product that those interfaces meet their needs. It depends on the customer, on how we charge for that feature or those feature sets. You know, sometimes it helps you retain and sell more hardware. Other times we try to package it in a fashion where those services help, obviously, our margin. One of the reasons our ISMS margins are as good as they are is because, you know, I believe the ISMS team, led by Joel Tamkin, who I think is on this call, they do a very good job of trying to balance the deployment services with the cost of initiating those services. So you know, it's a balance, but it is an area that we like to be in simply because the margins are better.
Thank you. That's very helpful.
Thank you. I will now turn the call back to Kirk Brannock for closing remarks.
Thanks, Christine. I want to thank everybody for joining us today. We're pleased about the progress, and as I said before, we do have tremendous operating leverage in this business. We're far from done. Our focus is on growing revenue, and we're going to continue to step up that focus to try to grow our top line. We look forward to speaking with you again, and thank you for joining the call.
And ladies and gentlemen, this concludes today's conference call. Thank you for joining. You may now disconnect.